Oh, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sandy W. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 5th, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 68. We are reading the fourth paragraph, which begins now about sex, and we're reading that one paragraph only. So today's readers are, we have Rhonda R. for the 12 steps, Terry H. for the 12 traditions, and for our readers, we have Barbara W. Reading our text, Shelley E. on page 164, and we have Kara L. waiting in the background just in case we need her as our backup. Then following the meeting, we'll have Lorraine N. as our newcomer greeter and Leslie M. doing announcements. Okay, so our reference numbers. Let's see, our reference numbers for reference number for yesterday, Sunday, July 4th, that's our special edition. That number is 17,281, 17281. And then the reference number for the earlier meeting today, Monday, July 5th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,286, 17286. Okay, so the ROA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition says, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So now I will ask Rhonda R. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you. And good morning, everybody. I'm Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Atlanta, Georgia. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service this morning.
Oh, thank you, Rhonda R. Thanks for doing that service for us. And now I will ask Terry H. to read our 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, and thank you, Sandy, for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida, grateful compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA's unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve today.
Oh, thank you, Terry H. Thanks so much for doing that service for us. Okay, so this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I will be timing, and I'll say time when those 3 minutes are up. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. So our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order that we can have a quiet meeting, we just ask that everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 68, the fourth paragraph, which begins now about sex, and we are reading just that one paragraph. So I will ask Barbara W. to begin reading for us. Good morning, Barbara.
Thank you so much. Paragraph, last paragraph of page 68. Now about sex. Many of us needed an overhauling there, but above all, we tried to be sensible on this question. It's so easy to get way off track. Here we find human opinions running to the extremes, absurd extremes perhaps. One set of voices cry that sex is a lust of our lower nature, a base necessity of procreation. Then we have the voices who cry for sex and more sex, who bewail the institution of marriage, who think that most of the troubles of the race are traceable to sex causes. They think we do not have enough of it, or that it isn't the right kind. They see its significance everywhere. One school will allow a man no flavor for his fare, and the other would have us all on a straight pepper diet. We want to stay out of this controversy. We do not want to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We all have sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. What can we do about them? And I'd like to share on some of this. I just recently learned that my husband, my ex-husband, father of my kids, had died last week. And of course, part of my mind went to this question, and it was like, oh, overhauling. How much I've avoided this, thinking that I just like to sweep this under the rug and not worry about anything, and I must be inferior. And despite the fact that I had three beautiful children, our marriage only lasted 12 years. But he never remarried, and you know, sex was about, for us, was having children. And for some reason, I always wanted more. I never could find a balance. And I have a very hard time even talking about this subject. And you know what? I think I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Barbara W. Thank you so much for reading and your share, and we're very sorry for your loss. Really appreciate your service. Okay, so let's see. Now I'm going to open up the lines for others to share. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that others get a chance to share their experience too. So if you give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, and then when it's time to share, I'll offer to take people's states in case people want to find them on the member contact list. So I'll take a list for sharing. So who wants to comment today?
Jody H.
Jody H.
Christine M.
Christine M.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Well, that's a great lineup. Let's get started there. I've got Jody H., Christine M., Roz G., and Deborah G. And again, if you want to give me your state, please do so. And we'll start off with Jody H. Go right ahead, Jody. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jody H. I'm a compulsive overeater working on recovery every day. And I'm from the state of Maine. This subject has always been an interesting subject for me because tomorrow's my birthday. I'll be 60 years old, but I entered my first 12-step program when I was 19 years old. And when I was 19, it was all about sex. Just sex, sex, and more sex. In fact, it became one of my goals of going to the next meeting was to track down the next male I could find to get into my bedroom. I was all pepper. And then as I matured, I came into a greater balance and into the institution of marriage and found a partner that felt the same way as I did. And four kids later, I found that I was being very selfish in my sex life. And the selfishness was something that was a character defect that needed to be worked on in my life. Now, I'm older and my sex desire is still there, but I'm single now. And, It doesn't seem to be as much of a problem, but yet it can be. In fact, I noticed when I get on a program, I always seem to respect the male voices more. And I think that has to do with my own desire for a relationship with another man. And I think that it's so important to bring in some balance and not to look at somebody who is new in the program and maybe perhaps young like I was and wanted sex and more sex, and at the person who also who, no matter what their age, doesn't seem to have a great desire for sex. And it's very interesting to me that the program has grown me up. I grew up in this program. I came to when I was 19 and now I'm 60, so that's 41 years. And that's just being exposed to 12-step programs, not OA in particular. And I have learned a lot about myself through step four and working in my sex inventory. I still have some amends to make, and where I can, I make them. And for the others, it's amazing how when you go to do your amends for your sex inventory, how your higher power, I choose to call God, how God will put those people in your path so that you can make amends to them and say, I was selfish. Oh, I'll be right finished up. I was selfish in this relationship, and I hope I didn't hurt you. And those amends can be made. And it's a really cleansing experience to do your sex inventory, and I encourage anybody to do it thoroughly. And I will pass.
Oh, thank you, Jody H. Thanks so much for that service, and happy birthday tomorrow, a day early. Okay, so next up we'll have Christine M., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Christine. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I just want to claim my seat today. I haven't done this inventory yet with a sponsor, and I've been in OA maybe a year, but today this topic really resonates with me and this chapter. I was in a downward spiral yesterday, thinking that, you know, these habits of self-hate and loathing, that I won't be attractive, and not so much the sex, but how the opposite sex views me have always been in my mind. And it's the sex inventory. I have to work on the way I feel, my positivity. This topic of sex for me has been very difficult because I had some traumatic experiences in childhood. But the big book, I know, reminds me that this is a program of recovery, and it's a beautiful fellowship. And I reached out for help today regarding this exact topic, and did not know that this is what we'd be covering today. So my higher power at work, and thank you for your shares, and yeah, I enjoy this fellowship. Thank you. Bye, Jeff.
Oh, thank you, Christine M. Thanks so much for sharing with us. Okay, so next up is Roz G, followed by Deborah G. Roz, if you want to give us your location and then go right ahead with your share. Good morning.
Yes. Okay. Hi, I'm Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater, and my relocation is Palmdale, California, and I'm out walking my dog. I don't have two anymore. I have one. And I wanted to share this morning. So you may hear a little background wind. I'll try to stop and make it quiet. Well, I'm going to share. This share is just for me and me only. Of course, I'm sharing, but this is my experience and my opinion for me. I had in my earlier years, I was, I had very, just no health, unhealthy sex relations. And my mother was abused by her brother-in-law for years. So my mother didn't like to talk about sex. So I had no clue as to what sex was, except for what I saw on TV. And, you know, being curious about things with my teenage friends, we saw things, and I'll just leave it as that. You probably can guess, you know, what we were like, what's that, you know? But I had no clue. And I just would like to say I've never really had a healthy sex relationship. I was married for 17 years, and I guess my husband and I, you know, sort of did. But you know, in my religion, it is recommended. It is kind of like a command that we keep sex in the bounds of marriage, and it's a boundary, like, to protect me. And I really believe that, because all the sex that I had outside of marriage, every single time ended up in pain. Every time. I can't think of one sexual encounter that I had outside of marriage that didn't end up in pain. And that's just for me. And so, as some of the earlier shares, I'm 57 years old. I'll be 58 next month. And I've been single for about 17 years and celibate for just about all that time, except for a couple of very painful, once again, encounters. And I do attend another type of meeting for this sort of thing. But I do desire to have a marriage again. I do have sexual feelings, but as the book says, you know, the 12 and 12, and this book says, I don't want to be selfish about it. I would like to share in it and it for it to be very healthy. Those are my desires, and that's what I pray to God. But I'm not going to get into one-night stands or anything like that anymore in my life. And I'm not afraid to talk about it anymore. Thank you. I'll just end up by saying, you know, I would always skip this paragraph and not say anything, but today I'll just be brave and say that's what I want in my life. Thank you, and I pass.
Oh, thank you, Roz G. from California. Thank you for being brave and sharing with us. We appreciate it. So next up is Deborah G., and then I'll be able to take some more names. So, Deborah, if you want to give us your location, then go right ahead. Good morning.
Oh, good morning to you, and thank you so much for chairing the meeting today and all those that have made this meeting possible and all the shares already 12-stepping me. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, compulsive overeater. And this last time I did an inventory, and I've done many inventories with this, because I had such a distorted belief about sex and experience, because it was, for me, it got to be about wanting to be loved and cared for and part of a belonging and being just and the self-centeredness, the best, you know, just all of these distorted beliefs. And it wasn't until I started doing the work in the program and living these steps and going through that experience did I see things more clearly and see what was healthy and what wasn't healthy, and also having to make some amends for those things. And then also this last time, it was wonderful. I did a sex ideal. So what I really wanted, because I didn't know. I was just so confused and everything. And that's been a wonderful experience, because now I truly know, you know, what goes on with me and what I would like to have kind of experience. And yes, and I'm just so grateful to be in this program and that I'm doing this work and awareness to stay in that alignment. You know, stay in that alignment with my true loving presence source, because I'm always guided to what I need to do about all this also. You know, not going about the old beliefs in my head, but relying upon that loving presence that doesn't want me to suffer, that loves me so much. I'm loved there already. I don't need to go outside to seek that love. And I have loving people in my life today because of this program. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Thank you for sharing with us. And again, if you aren't already aware, we are on page 68. We read the fourth paragraph, which begins now about sex. Just that one paragraph. And although we value everyone's experience, we just ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that others get a chance to share their experience too. So who else would like to comment on what was read today?
Anne in New York.
Okay, Anne.
Lauren in Detroit.
Lauren.
A, Michigan.
Who? What was the first name?
Sorry, Liz A. Liz.
Liz A. from Michigan. Gotcha, Liz. Thank you.
Lynn B., California.
Was that Gwen?
Lynn.
Oh, I am.
Lynn. Okay. Gotcha, Lynn. Thank you. Thanks for that correction. Okay, I think that's another great lineup. So we've got Anne, Lauren, Liz, and Lynn. And I'll get last initials and states if I don't have those already. But Anne, I know it was from New York. Just need your last initial and then go right ahead.
Hi, yes. Anne S. from New York.
Okay, great. Good morning. Go right ahead with your share.
Thank you. I just wanted to share. This paragraph is really perfectly timed for me. I actually don't really talk about it too much, and it is an area I kind of avoid like talking about, but it's so important. I'm not fully recovered yet, not finished with the steps yet, but this program has really helped me in the area of putting aside within our marriage my husband's own problems. He had just a history with pornography, and but because of this program, I don't obsess about his issues with sex. I focus on mine, and that has just been so helpful in our marriage. I mean, when I pick up food, that's the same thing as someone else picking up any other substance that they use to try to cope with life. All addictions are the same. Me picking up food is the same thing as someone shooting heroin. And for my husband, it's the same thing that his own issues. And I used to get so angry and just so obsessive about it, you know, watching everything. And, you know, I even got to the point I almost wanted to get like cameras in my house, which because of recovery, oh my gosh, like his sex issues are his sex issues and my sex issues are mine. And because of working through this program, I'm not obsessed about anybody else. And actually I'm trying not to be obsessed with myself either. But oh my gosh, I've just had so much freedom in this area. And also, I use sex in a way like selfishly, I think, because different people have different sexual needs, and like that's totally fine. And mine really aren't that strong, but that doesn't mean that my husband's aren't. So I've really grown in that area too. Like maybe that's not something that I need, but maybe it is something that he needs. And I don't know if this is kind of related to what we read, but the area of sex in terms of my recovery in this program has really, really strengthened my marriage. And it's really, really helped me to just focus on my side of the street. And that applies to everything, not just sex, but particularly for this area, it's given me a lot of freedom from anger and resentment and worrying and obsessing, just so many mental ways I was just punishing myself. And I just wanted to share that with, in case there's anybody else on the line, you know, that struggles with that. Boy, does this program really help. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you, Anne S. from New York. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And next up we'll have Lauren, followed by Liz. Lauren, I think I have that you're from Michigan, but I didn't get your last initial either. Go right ahead.
Hi, yeah, my initial is, well, I'm Lauren G, and I'm from, G as in George, and I'm from Detroit. And, yeah, this is, you know, God works, and just, God is just such a loving God. This is just, it's amazing. This is the first time I've been on this actual meeting, and somebody had encouraged me to come to this meeting because I'm in need of a sponsor, but that's another topic. But so this morning I said, well, I'm going to come to this meeting for the first time. So, and we read, of course, exactly what I needed to hear. So a few years ago, one of my best friends, who I had been best friends with for about 15 years, he and I ended up going through a divorce at the same time. And at that time, we started a sexual relationship together that's been going on for the past few years now. And it's, you know, I had about 18 months in recovery during the pandemic. He lives in Indiana, so I don't see him. And especially during the pandemic, I didn't really see him, or I didn't see him at all. And things got kind of complicated because just of my own, on my end, things got complicated. And I was in recovery working a program, and, you know, it's so much easier to, you know, for me, it's much easier to live in an ideal state with my sexual relationships when I am in recovery and focusing on the program. So last night he was in town, and we did, we hung out. So, you know, this morning I have just been, you know, very emotional. And also because I care deeply about him, because we have been friends for so very long. So this is somebody that I've already cared deeply for, which I think makes it a little bit even more complicated. For me, it does at least. And I just said to myself, you know, I don't know what God's will is. I only know what I have for today. And so I feel the need to make all these decisions in my head of how I feel and what I'm going to do and this and that. And I just was like, no, you know what? I'm just going to lean into program, because that is all I do know. And that I know that's where the answers lie. They don't lie in my diseased brain at all. So I very much appreciate the shares I've already heard. And I just, you know, as soon as we started reading this paragraph this morning, I just started crying, because I just felt like I was just being protected. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lauren G. from Michigan. Thanks so much. Welcome to our meeting. Thank you for sharing. And yes, available sponsors will announce themselves at the very end of the hour. Okay, so next up we have Liz A., followed by Lynn D. So, Liz, I think you're from Michigan, go right ahead with your share.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Liz A. from Michigan. And I feel like I could do a whole speech or a dissertation on the sex part. My first inventory in OA in like 1986-87, my sponsor said, write on rags, resentment, anger, guilt, and sex. And I did the Great American Novel and realized how I had used sex to meet financial needs. I would live with different guys, and this sounds awful. And it was awful. I didn't know how to have relationships. And so, but I desperately wanted someone to accept and love me. And my addiction to food, the bulimia, the anorexia, the overexercising, the binging, had become a violence against myself. And when I did that first inventory, it was brutal. It was like ripping off this huge Band-Aid and realizing, because I wasn't in a space to love myself yet, and I was using that inventory to beat myself. But it made me aware that there had also been some sexual abuse along the way. Fast forward, I've just kept working on it in different ways since then, the inventory process. And eventually got married, and rather than have sex with my husband, I would go to the kitchen, and I call it vacuuming the cupboard. I would just eat and eat and eat to anesthetize any feelings and knowing that he would want me to come to bed. In 2012, my neighbor sexually assaulted me, and I ended up going to some intensive counseling. And so I just realized that even today, thank you, God, through the process of recovery and healing, that it's still going to be a struggle sometimes. And that now, without stuffing all that into my toenails, I actually will pray when my husband and I are intimate sometimes and ask God, ask the Lord into that, because I need that God to heal that. And I need a power greater than myself to, you know, just sometimes uncomfortable feelings come up, uncomfortable memories. So it has been this long process of healing, and the program has brought so many awarenesses and helped me to share with others and to be vulnerable with others about the journey. Because I think a lot of people in the program have had some kind of sexual dysfunction or abuse. But I just, my heart is way more transparent and vulnerable. Everything was a secret. Sex was a secret. And, you know, now it's a gift. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz A. from Michigan. Thanks so much. We appreciate your sharing with us. Okay. So now it'll be Lynn D. from California, and then I'll be able to take a few more names. Lynn, good morning. Go right ahead.
Thank you. My name is Lynn D. I'm from San Diego, California. And I, too, also came into program when I was 19. And so I hadn't had any intimate that time. So I kind of glazed over this as well, too, on my first inventory. But I'm now 40, so I've had some time. And I think that when it said that, you know, we'd all be human if we didn't have any sexual problems would be something that I can relate to, because I hate being human, right? I used to have, there used to be people, this one girl at a meeting that always said, oh, there we go, being human again. And it always used to like bug me. But it used to bug me because I think a lot of my perfectionism, right? Just hating being human. So if I can relate to more being human, I know that's where I need to be. So so I have a step study that I go to. And so with this last inventory, what I kind of noticed was is that, you know, I had been, you know, me and my husband have been together for 20 years. And so I kind of felt like I needed to go and peel the onion a little deeper. And so what I decided to do was take that, you know, turn kind of like sexual relationships into sexual ideals. And I went really dug deeper on kind of like a first boyfriend to see if there was anything there. And then I also dug deeper on a sexual ideal of one of my really good friends. And it turned out that there was just so much there with, like, you know, me not really wanting to be friends with her. And she's just always the taker and I was the giver. And it just, it revealed so much about a sex ideal I had. And so it just goes to show you when you're doing the work and in the step work and just looking at it from a different angle or perspective, and gosh darn it, just being human, you know? So thank you for all of your guys' service, and I'm glad to be here today. With that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Lindy from California. Thank you. We really appreciate your sharing with us. Again, we are on page 68. We read the fourth paragraph, which begins now about sex. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that others get a chance to share their experience too. And we should have time for probably four more shares. So who else wants to comment on that paragraph?
Melinda.
Melinda.
Laura R.
Laura R. Anyone else want to get in this lineup? Okay, we'll give everyone else an opportunity to get their shares ready. We should have time for at least one or two more after this. So I've got Melinda and Laura.
Hello?
Yes, yes.
This is Raquel.
Raquel, okay, great, Raquel. I got you in the lineup too. So I've got Melinda and then Laura and then Raquel. So, Melinda, I just need your last initial and your location, and then go right ahead. Good morning.
Hi, this is Melinda H., as in horse, from Virginia. And this
subject is kind of near and dear to my heart. I was promiscuous from the age of, 14, 15. At that time, I could get birth control pills without parental consent. And so I took full advantage of that. You know, looking back on that now, I do think that there is some part of all of that clawing at male attention that, you know, originated from not having the father that I wanted. And of course, I didn't recognize it at the time. It was just always, you know, this is what feels good. And I, as I got older, I started engaging in more and more addictions. For me, the food addiction came much later. But I've always felt like, for me anyway, it was perfectly fine to have sex outside of marriage. In fact, I didn't have a whole lot of respect for the sanctity of marriage because of all the people that were around me and the examples that I saw. So, I mean, both my mother and my father were married and divorced 5 times. My mother did stay married to her 5th husband. And I've been married twice. And multiple relationships, including getting an STD at some point that is for life. And so, but now I take responsibility for all that, you know, my actions. And my actions are that, you know, I looked to men and sex to fill me, you know, to give me, to get just, you know, I want. So give me something that's going to make me feel better. And even into years of recovery, my sexual behavior was not appropriate, you know, like having, continuing to have sex with an ex-boyfriend, even though he was with another woman. You know, because that was just all about me. You know, what do I want? And, you know, fortunately, I guess God intervened at some point because, you know, after a while of that with the ex-boyfriend, and at least a year, you know, I was just like, no, I'm not doing that. Okay, well, anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Melinda H. from Virginia. Thanks very much for sharing with us. So next up, we'll have Laura R., followed by Raquel. Laura, if you want to give us your location, and then go right ahead with your share. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Whew, I was just sitting here today listening to all these shares and just getting extremely emotional. You know, it's funny. You just feel like you've done the work and around certain topics and not to get this kind of emotion, but it's intense, you know, it's very personal and intimate. And yeah, you know, I made choices in my past that did place me and others in a position to be hurt. And, you know, and God has placed me in a position today where I'm able to carry the message, not only in recovery, but to young women who, you know, might be able to avoid some of those things that I chose to do. Now, again, God will love each of us no matter what we do. But like someone shared before, the pain, you know, I would love to prevent pain for people if they, you know, they're able to avoid it. And so I'm pretty vocal about, not detail, but pretty vocal about the fact that I touched the stove many a time and the pain that it caused me. But what's so amazing is thank you, God, for this program, because not only with the resentments and the fears, to be able to give those up to God and you know, let someone bigger than me be able to be the judge, jury, and executioner. I cannot be that person, but also be able to see where I was selfish and inconsiderate and, you know, dishonest and, you know, in my behavior, but then also where, like, that little girl who just so desperately wanted to be loved. I mean, really, I was looking for so long for the solution outside myself, and it came in so many different forms, and men was one of them. And I was willing to step on anyone's toes to be able to get what I thought I needed, which was security, safety, love, and, you know, and didn't realize that it was all just right within me. And yeah, I burned people and people burned me. And, you know, that innocence of this little girl who I still have today was lost, you know, along the way until I came to recovery. And I had to do multiple sex inventories. I mean, multiple. And the last one, I'll never forget. It was almost like I heard one time in church, like, if you can't even say the prayer, just scream out, Abba. Like, I was just had to, like, like, you just help take it. Like, I can't hold on to this anymore. The shame. Because I walked in recovery rooms with my head down. And it took a while, you know, especially around when it comes to sex. And I got to sit there that last real deep, you know, inventory, and you know, God had forgiven me so long ago, but I just couldn't give it up. I couldn't let go of the choices that I made, and until I did it again, one last inventory process, and I've done multiple since then, but it's been more around my husband and things like that. But now it's just I was able that one day to sit there and give it all up, and I felt like I was able to finally let go. And instead of hanging myself on the cross, I was already, like, someone else was taking that for me. And, oh, like, I mean, I almost feel like I went through an orgasm doing that inventory. I'm like, woo, after all it was done, I'm like, take it, God, take it. It was amazing. So if you're new, like, thank you. If you're new, you know, welcome. And this is such a beautiful process. And we get to forgive ourselves, and God forgives us. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Laura R. Thank you so much for your share. And now, Raquel, if you can just give us your last initial. Raquel from Israel. Good morning.
Hello? Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Can you
yes,
hear
go
me?
Right ahead, Raquel. Oh, we can hear
so
you.
Much.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your service and for all my dear friends out there. Family, really. Well, this is a topic, you know, I may say some things that are not very conventional, some people chuckle sometimes. I'm 79 years old, and I am alone now for 23 years. But I must I say sometimes at a meeting, I have a tendency to get married every once in a while. So I've been married 3 times. And I must say that this God-given power, as it says a little further on, we ask God to mold our ideals. And he says, well, this God-given power is good. We're not to look down on it. I cannot find now the right line. God provided it, and it's a good power. But the biggest mess happens in my view of my religion and the way that I was brought up, that this is an imperious, somewhere here it's like a power that can really drive us, that unless it is bound together with love and commitment, it can really drive us crazy. And a lot of what is happening and happening nowadays even more is even the sex identity of people become so very not unusual of what has been going on now for years. So from a little example from the hospital where a man comes to pick up his wife from the maternity ward where she is now, it's the 13th child, it's a big family. And a doctor walks up to the husband who was sitting and just having coffee at the cafeteria. And he's an Orthodox Jewish person. And the doctor is not a believer, and he goes up to him and says, I want to ask you a question, and I want a straight answer, and I don't want any of this God mumbo-jumbo of yours, but just tell me, how is it possible that a husband comes to pick up his wife after a third child, And they were so lovey-dovey when after she had the baby. And now he's already yelling at her why she didn't get the papers ready and the release and the whole bit. You've come to pick up your wife and she had nothing ready and she's like moseying around trying to arrange things and pack her stuff up. And you're standing there so patiently. How do you do it? And he said to him a very simple thing. He said, you know, about half of a month, we love each other like across a fence of roses. We develop our relationship that is not through sex. And that's why we come back to each other after the days where we are forbidden for each other. We come back with a love and a relationship. Yes, this is unusual for me too when I heard it. It just touched my heart so much because unless it is bound with love and commitment, it can really drive us sugar, as we say. Thank you for being there for me. I love you guys. Have a good recovery, everybody. And
thank you. Yes, thank you, Raquel E. from Israel. Thanks so much for sharing. You will be our last share today. And now we will close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater presently in Northern Michigan. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.